Welcome, folks, to this week's edition of the Bill Elliott Racing Podcast. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull, and it's already been an exciting year for Bill Elliott Racing, as we've seen Chase Elliott and Casey Roderick both run very well at Speed Weeks. In fact, we have Casey Roderick here, who's going to tell us about his Speed Fest ride that he had just a couple of weeks ago back at Lanier National Speedway. And, of course, it's interesting to see how well the Wood Brothers team has run with Bill Elliott in the Sprint Cup Series, having run fourth fastest in the timing session for the Daytona 500, locking him into the field. But he's not with us today. Casey Roderick is, driver of that number 19 Bill Elliott Racing Development Ford. And Casey, it was, I guess, good and bad memories that we could glean from that last weekend of January at Lanier National Speedway. You ran very well in that pro late model race, the precursor to the super late model event during the Speed Fest. And the only thing between you and the win was the front bumper of Kyle Busch. So tell us a little bit about that whole race, including how the contact that spun you out with Busch went down.
Well, I'll tell you what, we had a really good car, and, you know, Jim Barfield gave me a great car to run, and, you know, me and Kyle, you know, we're racing hard, you know, no hard feelings there, but he ran first for most of the race until our break at lap 100, and we'd come in first and second. They gave us about 5 minutes between the break there, and we could make any adjustments on the car that we wanted, so... yeah, I was hitting the racetrack a little bit, holding the car up, and it's starting to get a little tight in the center with me. So, you know, I told the guys put a couple shims underneath the bump stops and raise the car up to you know, get the car up off the racetrack. And man, we went green for the last 50 laps. It was you know, a different car. It started turning for me, and you know, I was able to get off the corner really strong, which. You know, I watched the video on the race, and we were killing Kyle come off the corner, but, you know, he was getting in really, really bad. If I could get in the corner a little harder, I think I wouldn't have, you know, had the problem we run into there. But, you know, it was just good hard racing for the win, under 10 laps to go. And, you know, unfortunately it happened the way it did, but it happened.
And for those who didn't see the race, what exactly happened was I think coming out of turn number two, Kyle Busch got into the back of you there, spun you around, and there was good and bad that happened out of that for Casey Roderick fans. Unfortunately, Casey lost his position on the track, and since he brought out the caution, was put back to the back of the longest line, which put him about 10th place or so there on the lead lap. But Kyle Busch got penalized for rough driving, and so he got to join you there, and we got to watch you and Kyle both each make up several positions of, I think, finished just outside the top five in that race. Now, you mentioned that Kyle was getting into the corner better than you. Do you think that was a handling thing, or do you think he had more horsepower coming off the straightaway and just beat you on the corner entrance speed?
No, we had about the same horsepower. He had the same motor, and you know, I really going into the corner really don't play, you know, with the horsepower there. You know, you're where that comes in effect is up off the corner. You know, these Chevrolet motors got some good torque, and you know, we're pretty, you know, pretty even on the motor situation, but he was handling a little bit better getting in the corner and through the center. That's why he was able to get up on my bumper there. But off the corner, I had really good bite, so I pulled him, you know, 2-3 car lengths up off the corner, but he could close in on me so fast getting in, it just kind of leveled out there. So you know, it's one of them things, man.
Get your
car working.
One of them racing deals is what you put it, and that's what he said too after the race. And you sounded very mature there, kind of dressing down and dialing exactly how the race cars handle and what was wrong with yours. And you also handled that situation very maturely, and not going after him after the race or throwing your stuff at him or trying to pitch a fit or throw a fight. I guess tell me a little bit about your philosophy on that, because I guess you've seen a lot of that at the racetrack over the years.
I mean, we're two race car drivers. You know, that's what we go out there and do is fight for the win. But I mean, we've been racing a long time. I've been racing since I was five. I don't know, you know, how long he's been racing, but
about the same.
I'm sure it's been a while. But you know, I watch people over the years that get so upset when stuff like that happens. They, you know, throw their helmets around and, you know, try to start a fight in the pits and all. It's like, you know, it don't do you any good. It just makes you look bad. So I try to keep my head cool there and, you know, just, you know, let it handle itself, you know. So it seems to work out the best.
I guess you could teach those veterans on that show Madhouse on History Channel a little lesson, huh?
Yeah. I've been watching the last couple shows on that. It's pretty wild stuff that happens there.
This past off season, I guess, was not long enough. I'm not sure how you'd assess it. Tell me a little bit about what you did. The last time we talked to you was in the World Crown 300.
Well, I've just been working at the shop every day. You know, just working on my late model, and you know, we were trying to get a car ready, you know, for Speed Fest there, and you know, that's about all I was doing for this winter's just getting prepared for that. But you know, there's several things that can be, you know, worked on at the shop every day, and that's about all I've been doing. No vacation or nothing like that. Just being focused on my racing, and you know, just trying to push forward for my future.
Casey, that's about all you can do in a situation like that, where you're just sitting and waiting for the next race. You just have to prepare for it, especially an economy like this. Well, let's announce your 2010 schedule. Looks like on tap you have 5 ARCA races. And folks, if you don't know, last year Casey made his ARCA debut with a car that was out of the Phoenix Racing shop, but of course had the technical support of Bill Elliott Racing. And in fact, Bill was even the crew chief in that ARCA race, where Casey ended up finishing second, which is impressive for a debut. This year he's going to run 5 ARCA races, the first of which this year is going to be at Palm Beach International Raceway later this month on the 27th. That's a road course race as well, so be sure to check in for that. Then later on this year, there will be 4 more races scattered between August, September, and October. Those are at New Jersey Motorsports Park, Chicagoland Speedway, Kansas Speedway, and then ending the year at Rockingham. He's also going to make all of the pro and super late model starts at Gresham Motorsports Park. The first of those races will be a super late model race sanctioned by the CRA Super Series on March the 13th. Be sure and stay tuned here to the podcast for updates on how he finishes in those races and all the preparations that will be going forward, as Casey has about a 12 to 14 race schedule this year, depending on if he goes down to the Snowflake at Snowball Derbies in December. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull. Thanks for listening to the Bill Elliott Racing Podcast.